12, go ahead.
Roger, we've completed our little sweep down there, and we're ready for your question.
Okay, Pete, we'll be with you in just a minute.
Grade junk never been on, so that may be a very pertinent point that the that firm ground also was the same ground we came up on. When I said it looks like this ground has got kind of little blobs in it, and it looks like what a nice, smooth, level dirt field would look like if it just had the very light rain on it. Yeah, before we looked at that, that was, you're right, that was when we were on firm ground right there. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. I do remember looking at that patterned ground to see where it went. And usually if I was near it and looked out in the distance, it looked like it went in the direction of the groove. As far as I could see out in that direction, you know, it'd be able to see any detail that fine. In other words, I never did look either left or right on those groove patterns where it didn't look to me like it went all the way out to the limit of vision for seeing them. I never saw any sort of contact along the transverse direction of the groove, either in Surveyor Crater or in front of the lab or a couple other places we have to walk around. Yeah, now that I mentioned it, we saw, I guess, at least three basic type of ground. The one that we run most of the time that we discussed, like right outside the limb, we saw the kind with the grooves, we saw the kind with the little, like, raindrops on it, and we constantly got pictures of all the different kinds, and then we saw some more finely powdered ground, like out around Sharp Crater, and we saw some more finely powdered, like just down on the inside of the small craters, and to some extent on the inside of the Surveyor Crater. Those are all the different types of soils that I can recall.
However, they all had the same color. Boy, there was, other than the fact that you suddenly aware that you sunk in further, or you just have to be thinking about it or looking at it at the time, there was no distinguishing in colors or anything like that. Now, there might be a subtle enough distinction in colors that from a far distance, that's where rays out of these craters give you that pattern. But when you're standing right up close to it, that was not at all apparent that there was anything different in color.
Yeah, that color is so deceptive. I can recall now looking at all the material around the limb the first day we were out and just making some comments. I don't recall what I said, probably more gray-brown or gray-white. And the second day I was out, the very same places, and I wasn't really aware of at the time, I kept talking about them being light brown. All the rocks I kept thinking had a light tan coating, whereas the first day I thought they had a light gray coating. My impression now is, and it could be completely wrong, but I'm going to be anxious to see the rocks when we get home, is we picked up all the different kinds of rocks we saw that had to do with texture and shape and anything else we could see, which wasn't much, believe me, I looked hard. But my impression is we're going to crack those rocks open, and when we do, we're going to find, we should have done this on the lunar surface with a hammer, we're going to find that those things are dark gray basalts. Also, every time we came in the limb, both times, Pete said that my suit looked the same gray color. I never saw anything but that dark gray. I never saw any of the browns that I'd seen outside or anything like that. Yeah, our suits look like we've been walling around in graphite. A dull graphite. That's right. It was about that thin, fine to it. It clung to everything.
There was a point there where you talked about seeing large white boulders in the distance, or on other occasions seeing things which appeared white. Do you really think that was the color white, or do you think it was the way in which the sun was refracting off of those surfaces that you were looking at?
Well, we discussed that again when we got back up in orbit, the fact that at the high sun angles, the ground looked white to us from orbit and everything, and I think it's purely a matter that the sun is so bright that when it shines on those objects in the distance and you're very close to having the sun directly behind you, that it gives the appearance, everything has the appearance of being chalk white. I think that's one of the most different things about the lunar surface that I saw from the Earth's surface, was the fact that where the sun is has such a great effect on the color. Whereas you take on Earth and have some sort of rock laying on the ground, the sun can move a long way, and the rock still pretty much looks the same. And when you pick it up and kind of shade it with your body or something on the ground, you can usually get a good index of the color. You do that on the moon, and you just can't hardly see the rock. When it's in the sun, it just changes colors with the sunlight. That's one of the most Al mentioned a very good point. There's no doubt about it that the ground looked different the second day than the first due to the sun angle getting higher. However, on the horizon, the horizon remained approximately the same. And again, I think it's because of the greater distance and the fact that the angle between us and the sun was still relatively small, looking at a distance. And the rocks still looked white out there, chalk white. I'll bet if we stayed there and let the sun move to 90 degrees, that what we saw in the distance would change in color. Yeah, I agree with Pete. Now, one interesting thing, when we were out at this surveyor that was sort of tan, my initial impression was that the radiation or something had darkened the paint. But when you look at the chrome surface, the only surface I saw that didn't look this way were the mirror surfaces, by the way. But if you look at the chrome surfaces of, that, for example, that battery box, it had changed to almost the same color, that light tan. Now, maybe if we looked at it the first day and it had been in sunlight, it wouldn't look light tan, it would look like gray. But it looked like tan. To be able to get this, of course, because we got the cameras with us. But when I rubbed the box, it took off the light gray coloring, but it just didn't dust off. So I'm pretty sure that we didn't put it on with our limb, because it wasn't just like dust that hangs around your house. It's only been there a day or two. It was like dust that's collected on there for a long time, and long enough, had some effects on it long enough till it really becomes a, not a thick coating, but a very cohesive coating. It was almost like a skin on there. And you had to rub hard to get it off that battery box. And when you did, there was a nice shiny chrome beneath it. It was kind of a strange thing, like a bunch of dust had blown on the box. And it had stood there long enough to really get hard. Well, I think there's going to be enough parts that have not been touched by either our gloves or by the bag that the camera is in that you'll be able to get a good hack on that.
Well, as I imagine also
like,
with...
like the TV mirror...
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, the TV mirror has only my finger mark on it, and I'm sure that nothing else has touched any of the rest of that TV mirror, and it was covered with this fine dust. Also in the same place with the mirror, Pete, although our mock-up didn't look this way, as I remember, there's a lot of electronics exposed in behind that mirror that, of course, we never could possibly touch. It should have the same coating in there or something. Well, the other most important thing is the surveyor was equally brown all the way around it. And had we covered it coming in, I think we'd have seen a directional pattern on the surveyor. So I don't think, as a matter of fact, the way that dust flew when we landed, I don't think any of it landed within 10 miles of where we landed. It just took off. That's, I kind of agree. And even if it did, it wasn't going to fall in the crater. It just shoot right across it. Yeah, and the surveyor was lower than we were. Hey, dude, I just thought of an interesting possible point that somebody wants to do when they get with that camera. The geologists want to look at when they get the camera before they give the scientist. Is back in there behind that mirror where all the radiation could get into, it couldn't get into as much as it could, let's say, the top. The camera got radiation all day long because it'd get into the sun came up and get it all the way around the sunset. But inside that little hole where the mirror rotates, there's going to be parts in there easily calculable that got just only a certain amount of sun each individual day. Let's say some parts that only get 10% of the sun on the outside, some parts of the inside would get 50%. So if they're very careful with that mirror, it's surface at the back of the mirror and inside that little hollow place, they're liable to be able to get some index of how fast this stuff builds up and when it does.
Roger, were you able to notice any kind of vertical...
I'm going to have to be careful.
Go ahead.
I think you're going to want to have something thought through on that before that camera goes whistling off in the distance, because it is going to take a lot of fooling around with before all that information would be lost.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to be very careful how we handle that. Did you notice any vertical gradient in the color on the surveyor, as you might expect if it was dust?
No, it was pretty well uniform all the way over.
opposite side that we landed. And it was, that was our first impression. Coming up on the opposite side was, it was brown. Didn't look brown the day before in the shadow either. It looked white. And of course it was out in sunlight by the time we got to it on the second ECA.
Okay, a question on the vesiculation of rocks. Did you really notice any or an appreciable amount of vesiculation in any of the rocks yourself?
Not a lot. That's what's funny. I guess Neil Buzz brought some back, and we didn't see one rock anywhere with any that type structure.
I agree with Pete. One time I reported I did, and then I looked at the rock when we finally picked it up, and it didn't look like it at all. It had a bunch of pits on it, but it didn't have any vesicles in it, and we were all doing something else, so I never really went back and corrected myself. But I got to agree with Pete. I never saw any vesicular material at all.
I'm not convinced that we got too much different kind of rock material, to tell you the truth. I of course, I got fooled out there in the desert, and so anything that we saw that remotely resembled being different, to our eye, we brought you a sample.
And, yeah, I think we got a sample of almost everything that was there. Everything that we saw that was different texture, or the way it weathered, or where it was setting, or anything else that seemed unusual to us about the differences of rocks, we grabbed some of them. But like Pete says, it's going to be interesting to see how many different things we did actually get.
Tell you, it wasn't less than 10 times I
spots, including in the limb, both times we were back in, and said, okay, Dovey, what can you do? And that, can you fill that square? Is it possible to look out there and try to determine where this came from, which is first, which is second, and all that? And except for deciding which craters look newer than others, which we know from ground observations, I was not able to see any special little clues like we were, for example, over in Hawaii, and we were when we were out at Meteor Crater and other places that gave us those kind of clues. That whole area is just has been acted on by these meteoroids or something else, so that all these features that are normally neat clues to you on Earth are not available for observation. Now, I didn't find any way to fill that those two big squares, you know. I never was able to walk it up to a crater to determine when the normal ground stopped and the ejecta started, except on the difference in slope or the fact that it got a little bit more poutier under my feet. And that's not a very good index. We never saw anything of a different color or a different amount of rocks or anything else, except the times that Pete and I were kicking up that very light gray as opposed to the more dark cement gray material. There's just no context to look at. I think even a trained geologist would have trouble doing a whole lot of field geology that way on the moon. I think what you're gonna have to do is pick your traverses like we did and just sort of select at a regular interval as you go along, and then go back and analyze this stuff to find out differences. I've kind of got the idea that a lot of it is the same, and the only difference being its relative age to one another by being blasted by a meteor coming in and getting thrown out at different times. Don't you think that out? I think that. I think one of the things you're going to want to up, too, is you're going to want to up the number of core tubes so that you can get down in these areas you're interested in. Find out what's going on under there, because it's covered with this layer, and there just ain't no way to figure it out. I know, thinking back, and like I say, before the EVA, during the EVA, and afterwards, we talked about it and thought about trying to get the big picture, trying to be more than rock collectors, picture takers. And believe me, we worked at it, and I think from our training, we were pretty doggone good at getting that sort of thing in training, not just grabbing a few rocks, but trying to evaluate the things that we want to evaluate. But it just was difficult to do because the clues just aren't right laying there on the surface. It's got this big blanket of all beat up soil over every single thing. I think maybe you want to get a better trenching tool. Pete, the trenching tool we had was just that shovel, and he could only go down about 8 inches without falling on his head. Now, if you don't want to get a lot of core tubes, but you want to see what's going on, maybe we need to get some sort of better trenching tool where the guy can lean over and trench down 6 or 8 inches, or at least as far as the ground is soft, and then take a look at down what's underneath it. We were really injured in the fact that we could not bend over. It wasn't as apparent in our training as it was up there, because in your training, when you weigh 285 pounds there in the building and you got all that stuff on your back, it's fairly easy to sort of squinch down or lean quite a bit. You can't do that up there on the moon. And Al just said, and I'm short and low to the ground to begin with, and somebody as taller than I am is going to have a difficult time with the same length tool trenching as deep as I did. Because you just can't get over. And we've got a whole bunch of ideas where we're going to, in the 5 days here at the MQF, we'll put all this down on paper on what we think we could do to pass on some suggestions to improve the tools that we have right now to do a little better job. Yeah, I think those tools can really be worked over. They seemed pretty good before we left, but once we got out there and started working with them, you know, 1/6G and like, because you can't always do the same things. You're leaning in a different way, and things are a little different. I think we thought about it enough and observed it enough that we could come back and give some pretty good suggestions for tool improvement and equipment improvement along those lines. It'll help the next guys get more rocks and better rocks and faster and trench deeper and do more core tubes or whatever else they want to do. You
that doggone hammer.
Okay, thanks for your comment.
Yeah, we concluded that we concluded everything's too delicate to start with. The extension handle was about wiped out by the time Al got done driving that double cord tube. Yeah, even though you're light up there and everything's light, you can still get something like a hammer swinging, or if you get moving and want to stop, you can still put some pretty good loads on some equipment.
Now that's it for the questions. Thanks very much. Could you give us a reading off the O2 pressure gauge on the repress pack?
Yeah, one more thing that we did get back to the crater morphology and all that business. When we looked at those craters, we tried to do that too. Bedrock, what we thought was bedrock on the outside, we said, great, we're going to look at those craters. This is what we said before we even got out. We're going to look at those craters, and we're going to see a deep contact between the regolith and the bedrock. And we're going to go down a little bit further, and here's going to be something else. We really got it knocked. We looked at those craters, and what it looks like is just like the surface, except there's a few rocks that seem to be resting on the wall and resting in the bottom. Now, if you went down there and dusted away all that material, I don't know how much there is there, maybe you'd find the contact between the regolith and the ground bedrock, but, you know, you really couldn't see it. Now, maybe you could infer it from the pictures we took and what we discussed, because it usually was showing here and there, particularly on that very last crater. But that's going to take some work. It's just not like looking at a crater on Earth. I think the fact that it has this makes geology up there as difficult, if not more difficult, as it is on the Earth, because you have trees and grass and all kinds of things like that that hide a lot of the Earth's geology. So I think you're in the same box up there. What's the private way on the repress package is 850 PSI. Another thing that's been concerning me a little bit, you know, we keep talking about going to all these neat places like Hyginus Rill and all that stuff because we're going to stand on a side right below the rill. We're going to look up on that big high side, and right there is going to be the history of the moon, like sort of like the Grand Canyon gives us such a great one of the Earth. Well, I'll tell you, if the sides of that place or anything like the sides of craters or the sides of the surveyor, you're going to look up there and you're going to see a bunch of dust just like you see on the surface. I could be easily wrong. We hadn't been there. But we just didn't see any places, no matter what the slope, that didn't have all this material all over it.
Roger.